Hi, everybody. It's Southeast Prophetic Network. This is Pastor John Heiss, and was asked by Prophet Ruth that we would share a little something while you folks are just wherever you are, you're at home. Most of you, I know a lot of you are working. God bless you. We just appreciate being able to communicate over the Facebook and just phone calls. I talked to David Bates the other day and just on the phone, and it's just like, man, I just miss you guys. Talked to Ruth. I was like, it's been missing everybody so much. But we just wanted to share a word with you since our meeting schedule has been thrown off somewhat by all this. So I want to continue on some of the stuff that I was doing at our last couple meetings on discerning between false prophets and true prophets. There's a difference between divination and prophecy.
Amen.
And I feel like that we have to be discerning in the church today, because as we get, especially getting on the internet and seeing these people that present themselves as prophets, and they're not really flowing in a spirit of prophecy, some of them are flowing in divination. And it's not the Lord. Some of it may even have a certain ring of truth to it. And so I just believe that God wants us to be very sensitive and discerning and to know the difference. And so that was part of what I was teaching with a little bit with Balaam. I'd given you some notes along those lines. And if you want those notes and you didn't get them from that meeting, I'll be happy to send them to you if you just message me on the Facebook group. But I want to talk today in particular from a passage in Jeremiah chapter 28. And it's all about a false prophet named Hananiah. Hananiah, and it was during the time of Jeremiah, who is one of the greatest prophets that we had. I mean, Jeremiah prophesied the new covenant. Jeremiah was the one that God chose to carry the people of Israel through the most difficult time period I think that they ever experienced. He took them from the kingdom, and then how the kingdom was lost and how they went into Babylon. That was a tough time. So I really want to hear from God, especially have a real good prophet of the Lord when I'm going through a tough time, not just when things are going well. And so so here we have Jeremiah. Some people called him the weeping prophet. And, you know, the Lord spoke to us in the beginning of the year, actually at the end of last year, and said that this would be a season of weeping. I shared this earlier with my church. I believe I shared it with the network that when Hezekiah was prophesied by Isaiah that he was going to die and get his house in order, it says that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he cried, he wept, and he prayed. And because of that weeping prayer, God gave him, changed the diagnosis on his life, and gave him life when there was a certain diagnosis of death, immediate death. And so here we are, the weeping prophet, Jeremiah, that is ministering and dealing with false prophets. So let's look at this passage in Jeremiah chapter 28. I hope you got there. I'm going to start I'm not going to read through all these names, but this particular Hananiah in verse 1 spoke to Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, so this prophet here had full access to the people of God. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Verse 2. I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jeconiah, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles of Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. So here was a tremendous word. Look how exciting that was. It was all about God bringing deliverance and salvation to the people. And you're thinking, wow, this has got to be the word of the Lord. Look how positive it is. You're not that kind of religious prophet like Jeremiah, always prophesying all this negative stuff. So this Hananiah prophesied it. And then look at verse 6. And I think Jeremiah might be connected to New Yorkers because he's really sarcastic here. He says, the prophet Jeremiah said, amen, may the Lord do so. He probably said it with some real attitude at the time. Anyway, what do you think, Marianne?
Yeah,
yeah, like, oh, amen.
Definitely.
Amen on that word.
Attitude on this.
Look here, though. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. So I want you to see this contrast here. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times, what did they prophesy? War, famine, pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. That doesn't sound like a kind of word I'd want to bring. But that's what Jeremiah said. All the prophets before me and myself have all prophesied this. Look at verse 9. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent that prophet. So there was a standard. There was a standard for prophesying this peace that only God could fulfill. He said, man, you know, if this really comes to pass, then we'll know it's God, because right now this word does not fit what all the other prophets have done. And I think that is a first lesson we can learn from Jeremiah right there, is that you have to look at the scriptures, you got to look at the word of God, and if a prophet is not prophesying what the word of God says, then it's not going to be true. It, you know, let God be true and every man a liar. So anyway, so what did Hananiah do? He took the yoke bars from the neck of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was wearing these as a prophetic sign of what God was doing through Babylon. And nobody liked it. So what did this bold prophet do? He went up to Jeremiah, took the wooden yoke off of it, and he said, even, and broke it. Now that's pretty bold. And this is what he said. Verse 11. Thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within 2 years. But Jeremiah the prophet, notice Jeremiah the prophet, went his way. It didn't faze him. He just went his way. Sometime after the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke bars off the neck of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Go tell Hananiah, thus says the Lord, you have broken wooden bars, but you have made in their place bars of iron. I have put upon the neck of all these nations an iron yoke, to serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. For I have given to him even the beasts of the field. And Jeremiah the prophet said to the prophet Hananiah, listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, says the Lord, behold, I will remove you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have uttered rebellion against the Lord. And in that same year, in the seventh month, that seven is the number of fullness, the prophet Hananiah died. So I just want to see if we can learn some principles here. What is it that makes a false prophet a false prophet? Well, we've seen something here already. Number one, that the scriptures, the written word of God, Jeremiah said, has not all the prophets before me up to this time, including me, haven't we prophesied pestilence? Haven't we prophesied famine? Haven't we prophesied these things? So if you're going to have a word that's really different from all these other prophets, it better be God. So that's the first thing. So I'm just going to give you a couple other insights here. And then we're going to, actually, as we look at this passage, we're going to think about also some things that Jesus said. So I'm going to give you some stuff. How about this? Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. All right, it's found in Matthew. And have you got it?
I'm looking it up.
Look it up, and I'd like you to read it. Matthew 10, verse 34.
Yeah. Okay, don't assume that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword.
All right, so Jesus was the Word of God, right? So what did Jesus come to bring?
A sword.
A sword.
Division.
Don't assume. What do you say? Say it again.
Don't assume that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword.
So here is Jesus saying the same thing. Isn't he saying the same thing as that he's a prophet? Didn't he prophesy here? He's saying, look, I'm not just calling out this word of peace. Luke chapter 2, verse 33, describes something that was prophesied about John the Baptist by Zechariah, or actually Simeon.
Okay, then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, indeed, this child is destined to cause the rise and fall, or the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
So this prophecy, this prophet, it said here, he's prophesying a sword, isn't he? Simeon. And he's saying that John the Baptist, I mean, this isn't like a peace word, is it?
No,
he says the fall and rising of many, and a sign that's opposed, and a sword will pierce also. And, you know, in Jesus, in Matthew 10, 34, he said, did I prophesy not peace, but a sword? He said, father's going to be against child and brother against brother. He was, you know, that's what he said afterwards. So it wasn't like peace. It was like war. It was tough. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So a prophet is someone who wields the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And out of Jesus' mouth in the book of Revelation came a sharp, two-edged sword. And so do you see how the word of God harmonizes here? That Jesus is speaking of this, Jeremiah is speaking of this. So one of the things that we have to say this, that one way you know a true prophet is when they're dealing with the thoughts. Look what it says in Luke 2. It says that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And it's not going to be good. It's going to be like the sword piercing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I mean, this discerning is not showing good stuff necessarily, is it?
No.
I mean, when the sword of the Word of God comes, it doesn't make you feel good all the time, does it?
No.
It actually shows you stuff in you that God needs to deal with. So I just want to say this because we don't see it that way. We usually see it like if someone says something like negative, like, oh, you got to be a false prophet, you know? Like, and I think maybe we need to re-examine what makes a false prophet and what makes a true prophet. Okay, now let's just look at the reason why, and I'm going to talk about the difference between a wooden yoke and an iron yoke. Jesus said, because that what that Hananiah guy did was, he took the wooden yoke off of Jeremiah and broke it. Mm-hmm. Okay, he broke the wooden yoke. Now, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. So Jesus had a light yoke, right? Jeremiah had a wooden yoke, but that light wooden yoke was replaced by a yoke of iron.
A lot worse.
And so here's a scripture I want you to look at in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13 and 14. Jeremiah 6, 13 and 14. And again, this is another scripture that describes why false prophets that prophesy all this peace and all this awesomeness can really hurt you, okay? Yeah, Jeremiah 6, 16 and 17.
This is what the Lord says. Stand by the roadways and look. Ask about the ancient paths. Which is the way to what is good? Then take it and find rest for yourselves. But they protested, "We won't." I appointed watchmen over you and said, "Listen for the sound of the ram's horn." But they protested, "We won't listen."
So here's what I see from the metaphors. I love visual pictures. God wants us all to have the yoke of Jesus on it. False prophets want to take the yoke off of you. In other words, that yoke is not freedom, okay? An ox that has a yoke on it is not free. The ox that has a yoke on it is serving the master. And the false prophets want to set you free to all this prosperity and all this peace without having to serve the Lord and obey God. And there are times when God will ask you to obey him, and it will not be easy. It'll be a yoke to you. But Jesus said, well, I don't want to say use the word easy, because Jesus said, my yoke is easy. So in other words, when Jesus asks us to serve him, there is a price to pay. It will involve difficulty. It will involve challenge. It will involve you laying your will down and saying, I am not here to do my will, but to do the will of my Lord Jesus. But false prophets will try to rip God's yoke off of you. But what does it actually do to you? It puts a yoke of judgment on you, a yoke of iron. Iron is the metal that represents judgment in the scriptures. Okay, you can just do a search on that. And so what happens is God really wants us to learn how to walk in the yoke of Jesus and not let the false prophets try to take the yoke of Jesus and then replace it with a yoke of iron. Did he not? Look what it says. Pay attention. Where was I? Jeremiah chapter 6, 16. He says, we will not pay attention. And then in Jeremiah 26, 17 and 19 is another scripture that has to do with the very same thing about how we're to respond when God gives us a word. In Jeremiah 26, 17, it says here, that the certain of the elders of the land arose and spoke to all the assembled people, saying, Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah and said to all the people, thus says the Lord, Zion will be plowed as a field. This is not a happy word. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins and the mountain of the house of the wooded height. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah kill that prophet? No. This is what he did. Did he not fear the Lord and entreat the favor of the Lord? And here's the key. And did not the Lord relent of the disaster that he had pronounced against them? But we are about to bring great disaster upon ourselves. So when God comes to us prophetically, just because that prophet is warning us about the negative consequences of our actions, just like Hezekiah. Hezekiah, you're going to die. Right? Was Isaiah a false prophet because Hezekiah lived 15 years? No, Hezekiah sought the Lord and repented. And that repentance turned and shifted the word of the Lord. And God, it says, God, what did he do? He relented of the disaster. So really, the purpose of prophets is to confront people with the negative consequences of their actions, so that they won't happen, so that they will not happen. And I believe that if we're going to really see revival come, God has prophesied that there is going to be great revival coming to this nation, and it's coming very soon. We are convinced of that. But I believe this revival is going to have such a strong word of repentance. And I believe that God is raising up prophets to preach a word of repentance so that people will actually seek the Lord and change the diagnosis on their lives. Be healed. You know, Jesus died so that we could be healed, not just physically healed, but in our bodies, but in our souls. He says he took the stripes upon him that we could become healed and healed of sin. So I just want to just share this with our brothers and sisters here in this network, that as we go forward in the will of God, that we're going to actually see some amazing warnings that God is going to give through us that may shock us at the first. But I believe that when we are faithful to give the word of the Lord just the way God gives us, then it's actually going to cause people to repent. And it's not just fake religion. It's not just being religious. It's not just being, I have a relationship, not just religion. I understand that. But I believe that we got to be careful of not just being so much of the world that we end up causing people to take the yoke that God has for them, the easy yoke of Jesus, the light yoke of Jesus. But yet it just requires laying down your life. It requires repentance. It requires the discipline of the Lord and the sword of the Spirit. So can you agree with me, people, that with Jesus, I came not with peace, but with a sword? That's the challenge today. God bless you, and have a great blessing rest of the week. And may you just speak the word of the Lord with boldness. Amen. Amen. Take up the sword.